I will seek to honor his command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back here with you once again. Excuse me for a moment. Happy Wednesday. We've got a subject tonight that might make you think a little bit, so I apologize ahead of time for having you think midweek service, but it's just... that's the way it worked out this time. So I want to speak tonight, if we could, on a time of trouble. Something that we hear about and talk about, but what is this time of trouble? I'd like to read from Revelation chapter 12, and we'll start at the 12th verse. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Yeah. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time. So that's 3.5 years. From the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And of course, water represents people. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth, or angry, with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight? Father, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth, we thank you for this midweek service. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you, to give you praise, Lord, to draw upon your goodness, your mercy, Lord, to draw upon what you've placed in the body, to hear your word, Lord, to be nourished and strengthened by it, to be replenished, and Lord, to be prepared for what lies ahead of us, and to gird us up, Lord, to comfort us, to strengthen us. Lord, we pray that you be with those that are listening in tonight as well, and those that will listen in. And Father, we're just looking to you. We're nothing by ourselves. We're totally dependent upon you. But Lord, since we're totally dependent upon you, we're thinking big, we're asking big, and we're expecting big, because you're a great big God. And Lord, you own the cattle of 1,000 hills, and you'll withhold no good thing to those that ask. And so, Father, we just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one here tonight as we set aside this time once again. Lord, help us to redeem this time, and we surely will give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So these are things that are in the future that don't really pertain to the Church of the Living God, to the elect of God in this hour. But they do have to do with the cleansing of our home at a later time, which all of nature is groaning and travailing for. And you might say, well, Brother Doug, if this doesn't pertain to us, then why talk about it? Well, it's because it has to do with our home, and it has to do with our loved ones that are left behind to be purged. And it also ties Bible prophecy together so that you can rightly divide the scripture, so that you can see what inheritance goes to what group, and so on and so forth. So when Jehovah God communed with Abraham, He divided the inheritance. He showed Abraham the portion that was going to be his and to his seed. He showed Abraham the portion that was going to be given to Lot and his seed, and then also the inheritance of the rest of the world at that time. So he divided the inheritance, showing which part went to which group, including the Abraham group's portion. And you will recall that God has partnered, as he partnered with Abraham in type, God is partnering with his church, with his bride, to accomplish his work. And he wants us to clearly see what our part is in this great plan. And it's needful for us to see this. Part of your seeing your place in his plan is also seeing the part of his plan that is not your place. And, you know, we have to have the right expectation. We have to know what to look for. Now, the devil would have some believe that the body of Christ will be beaten by Satan for a bit, kicked around before she leaves this world. But that would place her in the Great Tribulation period, and we know she doesn't go through that. And we don't want to be looking for a tribulation period to begin in order to know that it's going home time. And we can see precursors already to the tribulation kicking in. Weather extremes, beast powers that are loosed, diseases and sickness and chaos and the bottom falling out of everything, but not fully. But we will be enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb when the tribulation period is going on here on the earth. The elect of God is caught away to the wedding supper, and then the foolish virgin is purged, and it's a time of trouble such as the world has never known, and it's a 3.5 year period of time. So we certainly have mixed feelings when we talk about the rapture of the church and of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which is the great tribulation period. It's great for some, those that are caught away, and it's dreadful for those that are left behind. So there's a part of us that rejoices, for it means to us, one, a body change, which is the fullness of our adoption, as Paul said. The defeat of our final enemy, which is death. Number three, meeting our Lord in the air to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb and to gather together with the blood-washed bunch of all the ages. Number four, the entire body of the Lamb's wife is together at last. And number five, escaping the wrath that is to come. So that's the part of us that rejoices, or that's the part that we rejoice over. But it also means, number one, a time of trouble here on the earth, such as the world has ever known. Number two, loved ones being purged through a martyr's death. Number three, Satan on the loose with revenge in his mind. And number four, the wrath of God and Satan being poured out all at once. So no matter how vile or how mean-spirited a person might be, we don't wish this on anyone. And if we did, there's something wrong with us. But we know that every soul must be purged. You'll either be purged now, or you'll be purged during the tribulation period, or you'll be purged in the lake of fire. So as much as we want everybody to go in the rapture, we know that everybody who is saved is not going. Saved is necessary but not sufficient. You must be born again. We know that every person who claims to believe that God sent to us the prophet of Malachi 4 will not be going. Many nice people will be left behind. We want all of our natural family, of course, and all of our loved ones to go in the rapture, but we don't know if they will or not. The only one that you know whether they will or not is you. It's God's right to choose his own bride. But we do know that if you are going in the rapture, you have faith to believe for your loved ones such that they will be safely on the other side when this is all over and the books are closed. So we can exercise that faith to believe for and to go after our loved ones and to lead them to Christ, to lead them to salvation. And then as far as, you know, let them come as far as they can go. Enoch was raptured, but his descendant, Noah, went through the tribulation period. Abraham communed with God and received a body change, a type of the elect of God in this last age. Lot escaped by the skin of his teeth. He escaped Sodom. His wife turned back and was destroyed as Sodom was. Sodom was destroyed by fire. She was turned into a pillar of salt. So there may be members of our natural family that go through the tribulation. But nobody in the bride family is going in the tribulation. No born again son or daughter of God is going to miss the rapture. Period. None will be in the tribulation period. And friends, this is, nobody's being denied here. Everyone is being given the opportunity, of course. Nobody that is born of the Spirit of God will be left behind. Without our body change, we think as other mortals do, of course, but one day we are going to be fully birthed into the family that we're a part of. We've been born again in the soul. We've been given a new spirit, but even that spirit is going to leave. We are going to, then that spirit will be replaced with your theophany, your spirit body. And then you're going to take on dust from this earth, and it's going to unite with your spirit body, and that will be your glorified body. You'll look like you do now, except with hair and real teeth and whatever else. No glasses. There's a variety in God's great big bouquet on this side. There will be over there too. And we will understand better by and by. Over there, we're not going to be thinking in terms of biological family lineages, and we won't sorrow throughout eternity over what took place to them. Now's the time to get to praying. Now's the time to stand in the gap. Now's the time to witness. Now's the time to get people to accept the blood of Jesus. Once the bride goes up, the devil knows that he has but a short time. He's read the same book we're reading tonight, friends. And he will get into a frenzy. You see, when we go up in Revelation chapter 4, that's the rapture chapter, the accuser of the brethren, as we go up, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And he's not going to be too happy about it. Especially being kicked out of heaven a second time. And he's only going to have 3.5 years left to work. And so he'll throw every demonic power against the remnant of the woman's seed, which is both Jew and Gentile. And he will have great power and great authority at that time. Power, actually power that he has now, but he's not allowed to fully operate it on the earth at this time. God puts limits on things. God establishes boundaries. In the sixth seal, the Bible said that the dragon, Satan, was wroth, that's angry, with the woman, the Jew, Israel. And he spurted water from his mouth, which is thickness and multitudes of people, that went to make war with the remnant of the woman's seed, Revelation 13. Now see there, we have that, and that's when Rome sends her army after the remnant of the woman's seed. So this is the real squeeze, friends. This is the church coming against the remnant, but not against the bride. The bride's not here. So when the bride steps into that other dimension fully, that is when Satan sends his armies, thickness and multitudes, like a flood after the remnant church. Those that are saved will remain saved. Those that are lost will remain lost. Those that are left on the earth will be persecuted. And they will die a martyr's death. This includes the 144,000 of Israel. And it includes the foolish virgin group that's made up of all nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The remnant group won't be made up of cigarette-smoking, drug-using, blaspheming hell's angels. They will be virgins. They will be made up of virgins that have been washed by the Word, washed by the water of the Word, that, in other words, sanctified, cleaned up. And but they've received Word, and they walk in it, but they have not received all of the Word because they were not quickened by and filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me, or did I lose you already? Okay, I must have lost you. I heard one amen. Are you with me? Or okay, I know it's Wednesday night, but this matters. You know, you need to know what your part of the will says. And it's helpful to know what part of the will remains for those that are left behind, so that you can tell them, hey, don't miss it. The price has already been paid. All you got to do is accept it, receive it. So many that go in the tribulation are right now sweet, good, sincere people. There were a lot of sweet, good, sincere people that were outside of the ark when the door was shut on the ark. They are tithe payers, perhaps, faithful church members, faithful church attenders, Bible readers, worshipers, ones that pray without ceasing, perhaps, moral, can't put a finger on their lives, but they don't make the rapture. On the other hand, your blunderings and your mistakes are taking place in time, but your representation is eternal. Amen. So your going in the rapture, it's not based on goodness, it's not based on sincerity, it's not based on nicety, it's not based on works. It's based on your representation. Amen. If it was based on all these other things, then many more would certainly go. There's a lot of good, nice people out there, friends. Now, Satan will pour out everything available to him in that day when the church is taken up. Now, he'd do it now if he could, but there's a word of the Lord that prevents him from doing so. He is limited in what he can do right now, but he has the power to do it, just not the authority. Or the permission, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you, brother Paul says, by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and we're witnessing the falling away. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, showing that he'll be religious, and that he'll be seated in a church, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Remember, that was his goal from the very beginning. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God, he's not God, but as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, the God of this evil age, the object of worship. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, Paul said. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So the he in this case is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is in us and is with us now is withholding the fullness of Satan from coming forth. Because, so that's why you can't be hunted down like dogs. Because the Holy Spirit is holding that back. Why would Jesus Christ allow his bride to be treated that way? You say, well, what about the dark ages? Oh, you mean the ox age? This is not the ox age. This is the eagle age. The flying eagle's age. But he will be taken out of the way when the bride goes up in the rapture of the church. Then that hand is taken off and Satan is given free rein. Now, Satan wanted to kill Brother Branham. Satan wants to kill you. He wants to close the church doors. Sure. He wants to hunt you down like dogs, but he can't. Not now. Not ever. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, that will never happen. Imagine how his anger is building up, friends. But the promise of God will not allow him to strike out in full force right now. The Lamb is clearing the title deed for the sons of God, the daughters of God. And Satan has nothing left to accuse the church of, because the title deed, all the liens have been taken off of it. So he comes down like a whirlwind and explodes here on the earth after the bride is taken to the wedding supper. He can't attack the bride, for she's been taken up at that time. So he comes against those that are left here on the earth. Those that are saved but are not born again. Those that have accepted the price that was paid on Calvary. They've accepted Jesus as their Savior. They're saved. Some of which are kinfolk of the bride. Some of which are the church nominal. And some that are the remnants of the Jews. The only ones that are saved on the earth at that time are what is known as the foolish virgin and the 144,000. You'll recall the parable of the wise and foolish virgin, that the wise had oil in their lamps, the foolish did not. And then they came to the wise virgin at one time and said, "Give us of your oil." And she said, "Not so. Go down to an old-fashioned altar and die out like I did. Pay a price." She goes to do it, but it's too late. And then we know that the wise virgin is taken up at that time. So that's when Rome sends her army after the remnant of the woman's seed, is after the bride is taken up. Too many are so focused on and are looking for a woman to become president, or they're looking for an American pope to be in power. It could be one or the other. It could be both. In years past, people were looking for a tattoo, you know, that would be the mark of the beast, or a credit card, you know, or a social security number, or certain numbers. In our own ranks, some are looking for a squeeze, a boycott, the church doors to close, and then brotherly kindness will somehow come on the scene, and followed by love. Friends, if you don't have brotherly kindness, how'd you get capped off by the capstone of perfect love? Again, Matthew 24, verse 44. "Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So, we shouldn't be looking for some certain sign. We're in the season. Amen. Just be ready. Amen. Live like he's coming at any time. Again, in Future Home, he says, "Just a little while we'll be summoned. Then the rapture will come. Just a little bitty group like Enoch will be taken up. Then the remnant of the woman's seed that keep the commandments of God," that's the Jews, "have the testimony of Jesus Christ," that's the Gentiles, "will be hunted down like dogs." Is that clear? Will be hunted down like dogs. Didn't say the bride. She's gone. "And shall give their life for their testimony." I'm going to read from the book of Daniel here tonight. We're going to go through some a prophecy that's in there. We're going to go through it line by line. And we'll try to keep your interest here, I hope. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble." This is the great tribulation period. "Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. And every one that shall be found written in the book." This is not the Lamb's book of life. This is the book of life. And we know that your name goes on the book of life at sanctification. But the Lamb's book of life, that's those that are born again of the Spirit of God. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In the first seal, he says, you know, Noah watched Enoch, for when Enoch come up missing, he knew judgment was at hand. He got to hanging around the ark, but Noah didn't go up. He was carried through the tribulation period to die the death. See, but Noah was carried through. Enoch was translated without death, a type of the church being caught up with those who are asleep to meet the Lord in the air. And the rest of the church is carried over into the tribulation period. And the church says?
Amen.
So the church is purged at that particular time, the church nominal, for their unbelief of the word of the hour for the age that they were living in. They were either blinded by the message to Sodom, which is a message of easy believism, or they never had an opportunity to hear the last message to the church before the rapture, but they gave their hearts to God. If they've heard it and they reject it, there's no blood for them. Again, he says, during this tribulation period, after the bride has been called out and the church goes through the tribulation period, the 144,000 is called by the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Now look, they'll prophesy 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth. Of course, this is 3.5 years once again. And this is God dealing with Israel. And as a type of Benjamin, Joseph revealing himself to Benjamin, who Benjamin wasn't even born, wasn't even around prior. And so the Lord is dealing with the Benjamin group, which is the 144,000. So while the bride is away, enjoying the paradise of God, the total opposite is taking place here on the earth. Now already, friends, we're seeing a separation. We're seeing it getting lighter and lighter and lighter and darker and darker and darker. Ultimately, there will be a separation of light from darkness. It'll be total darkness here and total light there. All hell will be breaking loose on Mother Earth. Our future home is fixing to be purged. Because when we come back, it won't be in the condition that it's in now. It'll be cleansed. I'm not going to be here during this purging. I'm not going to be hunted down like a dog. I'm not going to have the identifying mark of the beast. And I pray that none of you have either. But that's up to you to make your calling and election sure. The future is not what's in store for the Lamb's wife. That particular future is for those that reject. And that's one reason that God sends to the bride Elijah, which is her Eliezer. It's to take her out on a camel. We know that you read that story. They both ride out on a camel to go to meet Isaac. And the camel, of course, is a beast power, which represents the Holy Ghost. It's not calling the Holy Ghost a beast, but that's what it represents. So Satan's wrath and God's wrath will both be released in their powers here on the earth. And the two anointed ones to Israel, they will have powers to shut up the heavens. The sun will hide. Great signs will appear in the stars and in the heavens. But there are those who have been counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy, or blasphemous names, like Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, two souls, 7 thunders. There's only one name. And don't get mad at me, friends. This is his word. There's only one name. that is given whereby we must be saved. So John sees a beast rise out of the sea, which is multitudes of humanity. And he also sees another beast rise up from land, which is America. And this power comes to its head when the bride is gone. So you won't see it fully in its power as long as the bride is here. And she is standing on these beastly powers right now. That's the reason why these powers cannot operate as they will, because she's standing on them. You say, well, how is that? She feet as pillars of fire. She's the body of Christ here on the earth. And pillars of fire, which is a power, is standing on these powers. That power is here on the earth already, but it's limited in what it can do right now. We war right now against that demonic power every single day as we battle against powers and principalities from on high in heavenly places. Satan is doing all that the word will allow him to do, right up to the limit. But he's limited in what he can do until the mercy seat is taken from the earth. Once the bride is gone, then Satan releases what has been bottled up. And he'll be on a rampage, friends. So John sees a peculiar looking animal rising up out of the sea. And we know that it takes one with a prophetic key to unlock these symbols. We know that the book of Revelations is a book of symbols. But that key has already been put in the lock and has been opened to us in this day. So we don't have to presume or wonder. This is not our interpretation. It's been interpreted. Satan is working now to get his system set up for the tribulation period. We're seeing precursors. We're seeing everything in motion to get things set up for the tribulation period. We're told, you know, something as simple as rock and roll is preparing people for a tribulation period. You say, well, how? I don't know, but I believe it anyhow. All I know is that it doesn't get me ready for a rapture. It takes you the other direction. The ecumenical movement has swept across the face of the earth with America carrying the banner. Let's all just love one another is the mantra. No matter, you know, kumbaya, just doesn't matter. You know, you believe in Muhammad, I'll believe in this and that. And all roads lead to heaven and all doors lead to heaven. And don't judge one another. Well, we're not judging one another, but the word is. And we're not going to compromise on the word. We're not going to lay down the standard. Let everybody live how they want to. And sure, we let everybody live how they want to, but we don't allow them to live in the church however they want to. They live according to the word. No standards in this hour. Every standard that there is being tossed down. Every institution that's revered is being torn up. The family, the nucleus, is being attacked. Even the very, you know, how many... as we heard here, was it this last weekend, 31 different, you know, that was thrown out there. But the thought that came through my mind was, yeah, like Baskin-Robbins, 31 flavors, right? 31 different descriptions of a human being. God's description was the right, male and female. And his description is still true today. There's the Messiah and there's his bride. She doesn't become him because she wants to, and he doesn't become her because he wants to, and back and forth and in and out and on and off. There's him and her. And those two are one. Don't be hard. Don't be judgmental. Don't call something wrong. That's how you're judgmental. You say it's wrong. Well, the Bible says it's wrong. This is a pathetic attempt, friends, to shut your mouths and to get you to compromise on what you know is right, or to at least get you to question it. You're making up the hedge right now. You're what's holding back the wrath. You're what's holding back the judgment. Judgment, friends, God doesn't want to send judgment. That's not his desire. He wants people to accept him, to receive him, the pardon that he's extended. But when they reject it, there's nothing left but judgment. So you're making up the hedge right now, and Satan cannot cross that hedge while you're standing on the word. You're standing on a sure foundation, unmovable, unshakable, a rock. And he can't move you. And he's trying to get the whole world right now to lay down the protection of the word. Just as he did in the beginning. That's what he did in the garden. Get them out from behind the protection of the word. We're not laying it down. This is not personal. This is not us against people. It's the devil trying to get us to lay down the standard. The enemy comes in like a flood. God's raised up a standard. Somebody's got to hold on to it. You see, your voice is the final voice. So as long as you're standing on that word, as long as you're proclaiming it, as long as you're preaching it. You said, well, I'm not a preacher. You're preaching it by holding it up. As long as that voice is here on the earth, which is not compromising, but it's speaking the truth in love, the bride members are the elect of God are the only ones fully taking a stand for what's right in this hour. Only ones able to discern right from wrong. Because it takes the word to discern. And she's got a backbone and not a wishbone. She's not being pushed around. She's not being intimidated. She's not out there with a placard, stop this, stop that. That's political. She's living an everyday life, just as Enoch did. But she's walking with God. And if you're walking with God, you're walking according to his word. If you love him, you're keeping his commandments. And the word is being proclaimed from your life. You are, when people look at you, they see God's idea on marriage. They see God's idea on what a man is and what a woman is. They see God's idea of what a godly teenager is. They see God's thoughts manifested in flesh. And as long as the word is here, Satan can't cross over it, friends. So that beast power is here now. But it will not be loosed on the bride. It can't be. Again, Revelation 3:2. And the beast which I saw was likened unto a leopard, and his feet were as feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Again, from the mark of the beast. If you'll take Daniel 7... Daniel saw the same vision 800 years before this, saw the vision. He saw those beasts separate one from another in the beginning of the Gentile ruling. And here they are, John's seeing it. So John's seeing what Daniel saw. And here they are, John's seeing it, at the end of the Gentile ruling, all four of those beasts represented in one. Them same old devils, demons that possessed each kingdom of the Romans down through and the Greeks and so forth on down through the Gentile dispensation has come right on down and all met up in one beast. We'll find him directly. We'll see who he is. How many knows what the dragon is? The dragon represents Rome. Yeah. So Daniel sees the same vision that John sees, or vice versa. John sees the same vision that Daniel sees. And John notices first that it looks like a leopard, but it has feet like a bear, and it has a mouth like a lion. And all three of these beasts are carnivores. They're flesh eaters. The swiftness of a leopard, the paw like a great bear, a great power, the mouth of a lion. Notice it was only certain characteristics of each of these animals that are represented in this one beast. So it's not a mixture of these beasts, but it's representative of certain characteristics of each of these beasts gathered together in one beast. So John sees the anointing that will raise up in the last days, vicious, powerful, swift, scary, and you and I are battling that anointing right now. Those anointings are here right now in an ecumenical manner. But praise the Lord, friends. The Holy Ghost camel is faster than the leopard. And it has more endurance than the leopard. So let the lion roar. Let the bear swat. Our Holy Ghost will carry us away from this anointing power one day. And the Holy Spirit is what's keeping those other powers from consuming us. We are warring against the very powers that anointed. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and Daniel interpreted it. And there was, you know, a head of gold, which represented Babylon. And then there was a chest of silver. Then there was, you know, bronze and, you know, showing the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and down into the Romans, clear down here to the last days where there's iron and clay that are mixed together. There's the East, the communist East, and there's the supposedly free democratic societies of the West. Iron, Eisenhower, his name means iron, and Khrushchev, his name means clay, and the iron and the clay could not mix here in the end time. So we've seen the Gentile kingdoms starting from Babylon all the way down here to the end time. We've seen this whole statue, each part of it lived out. But there was an anointing that went with Babylon, and another anointing that went with the Greeks, and another anointing with the Romans, and another anointing with the Medes and the Persians and the Romans, right? But here in the end time, all four of those anointings come together at once. So we're warring against the very powers that anointed the Medes, anointed the Persians, anointed the Greeks, anointed the Babylonians. Just think of it, friends. And look what those anointings allowed each of those empires to accomplish in their day. You know, we look at Germany and we say, well, you know, how could a reasoning people, you know, they'd heard Luther's message. How could a reasoning people do the things that, or allow the things to be done that were done to Israel? You know, how could there be an Eichmann, and how could there be a Hitler, and, you know, how could there be a Stalin? And, you know, Russia was actually a very, and still is, a very religious country. How could these things happen, we wonder? Well, it wasn't the people. It's an anointing. It's an anointing that came over an entire nation, just as it did in these previous civilizations, if you will. And we're warring against those very powers in this hour. And look at what each of those anointings accomplished in their day. And in our age, an angel came down with a key and opened the bottomless pit and loosed, Revelation chapter 9, loosed these very same demon powers that were held back by the river Euphrates, that were held back and they were reserved for the end time, but they'd been loosed. And those demons were loosed again to anoint an Eichmann and a Hitler and a Stalin and a Mussolini to go against the Jews and drive them into their homeland. But once that was accomplished, those very same spirits then turned on, so that's natural Israel, turned on spiritual Israel, turned on the bride to drive her into her homeland, which is the fullness of the word. Amen. Feast of the Trumpets. Notice the loosing of this ecclesiastical spirit. That's a religious spirit. Now, 20 years later, after that war, we see the loosing of the ecclesiastical spirit. So the same demons that were loosed there against the Jew is now loosed on the bride to drive her home, to drive her into her inheritance. Amen. We have a pope from the Americas that is heading up the beast system here on the earth with the goal of bringing forced religion eventually to all inhabitants upon the earth. The scripture is very plain about it. That's where it ends up. And things are being set up for it right now. Our nation, our leaders, we have more Catholic leaders. Our vice president, our president, our president, the third in power, the head of the House of Representatives, the most of the judges on the Supreme Court. In fact, two were added here just recently. Most of our governors, most of our representatives. It's all being set up, friends. So think about this. The same anointing that was on the Babylonian Empire, the same anointing that was on the Median Empire, the Medes, the same anointing that was on the Persian Empire, the same anointing that was on the Greek Empire, is now come together in one and is being released on the bride. 200,000 demons. That's 200 million. Alexander and his armies, they were anointed to swiftly overpower and conquer the nations of the Eastern world in just a short period of time. It was 6 years. 6 years total. It wasn't that the Greeks were mightier. It wasn't that they outnumbered the others. It wasn't that they were smarter. It wasn't that they had better weapons. It was the anointing that was upon them. And then Alexander dies at the young age of 32 from a mosquito bite. And the powers that was on Alexander were divided among the four generals. And the same anointing runs out eventually, and it's reserved for another season. What an anointing. We marvel at what was accomplished in 6 years under that anointing. And we face that same anointing today, that same power. No wonder we constantly war every day, all day. But as Paul said, we war not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and powers and principalities from on high. Four powers together in one now. Yet we've had four stages of restoring of the bride tree to bring us back to the place where we can overcome this beastly power in this hour, this Antichrist power. Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. So we know that the winds represent wars, and we know that the seas represent people. Now, friends, I appreciate the UN, or excuse me, the world trying to stop war through the United Nations and by other means, but they cannot stop these demon powers. Right. There will not be peace no matter what they come up with, and no matter what they sign, no matter what treaty they make, because the scripture says there won't be any peace until the Prince of Peace returns. Amen. And when they say peace, peace, there's sudden destruction. So these demon powers are anointing nations, and they are anointing people, and they will not allow peace. We're so spun up because we see how it's anointing our nation. But it's scripture. It must be fulfilled. And you're not going to stop it. You're not supposed to. This message will not bring peace either. And it will not bring a brotherhood to this current world system. It could have, but it was rejected. But it will issue in peace as it ushers in the millennium. Friends, you and I live in a great age of brotherly kindness. And yet there's no peace. How could that be? Verse 3. And four great beasts come up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So the Babylonian kingdom is represented by the symbol of a lion with wings on its back. The anointing, described as a beast by Daniel, represents the anointing that was upon the Babylonian Empire, which ruled the world at that time. And God shows Daniel by vision this horrible-looking beast that represents a beast power that will be on the earth. And it's here tonight. That power is here tonight. The kingdom had its wings plucked. The monarchy changes, and the swiftness of that kingdom is removed by the wings being taken off. Verse 5, and behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So the anointing can reign for many years, but the prophet sees it for only a few seconds, of course. Three ribs, a killer that has destroyed. The Persian Empire, it wasn't as strong or swift as the Babylonian Empire, but it's represented in this beast power. Again, verse 6. After this, I beheld, and lo, like a leopard. Another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and a dominion was given to it. So this of course is a leopard, and it's difficult to spot a leopard. They are cunning, they are swift, but they lack the swiftness of a cheetah, and they lack the endurance of a lot of the other cats. The leopard moves at night, and the leopard is rarely spotted, or is spotted rarely. The leopard is given four wings for great swiftness. He has stealth. He has power. He has cunning. He has swiftness. That's Alexander the Great. Outnumbered many times. But stealth, power, cunning, and swiftness ruled the day. And yet these four beast powers combined, oh friends, these four beast powers combined are no match for the power of the Holy Ghost that's in the bride. Amen. And that's what we need to recognize. Amen. They can try and irritate you, and irritate you they will. They can try and tempt you, and tempt you they will. They can put sickness on you, but they cannot defeat you. Amen. Instead, they prove who you are. Yes. They prove the power that's keeping you. Amen. Friends, there'll not be one person that goes in this rapture that said, I did it my way. Or you know, if you'd have just done what I did, you'd be there too. No, it's grace. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that'll take you through. So this is all four in one. Iron teeth, great strength to devour nations. Now friends, the bride doesn't have iron teeth. But we do have a sharp sword coming out of the mouth. And it's greater than iron teeth. It will divide asunder, separating the bone from the marrow. It'll discern the Holy Spirit, the true spirit, from the Antichrist spirit. So Daniel must have wondered at each of these beasts. He must have marveled at each of these beasts. But the fourth was dreadful. The fourth was terrible in his sight. This fourth one stamped the residue. What a power. He didn't have to chase them down, but just stamp them. Put a mark on them. Not on you, but put a mark on those that remain. So this is the greatest demon anointing ever on the earth. And you're not stamped by it. This is the best shot.
Right.
No wonder the prophet of God said that you could live so close to God that the devil wouldn't know what to do with you. He literally doesn't know what to do. His best power is not effective. When the true church recognizes the two spirits within the framework of the church and withstands the Antichrist spirit, Satan is powerless. He's absolutely thwarted. Oh, you don't think that makes him mad? Verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Brother Branham tells us in the message, Victory Day, that wars are caused when one nation is jealous of another. And of course, we know that it's spirits that's behind this. We find that Satan's kingdoms, they don't get along with themselves. Even though he's ruling all the kingdoms, they don't get along with themselves all the time. But they war one against another, each one trying to get out of its own position, take more. So there's hatred, there's jealousy between the Middle Eastern nations and America, to where they can't get along. And yet they have the same employer. Satan is over all the nations of the world. Remember, Satan, in the temptation of Christ, in the three temptations, he showed them all the nations of the earth. He said, if you bow down before me, I'll give these all to you. Jesus didn't say, well, you don't have them. He did. He does. Right? So Babylon, of course, Iraq is modern day Babylon, and has the same spirit on it in this last day that it had back then. Again, in the 10 virgins and the 144,000, he says, and I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So he's quoting Daniel. Now we know we're in Rome there now, see? And behold, in this horn were eyes of a man. Now remember, this horn did not receive a crown. It was a cunning thing. The other horns turned to beasts. This was a cunning. It was a man, a pope, instead of pagan. And a mouth speaking great things, blasphemous names. Now friends, theologians have absolutely no idea how simple this is. But a man with a seventh grade education and a gift of God tells us what it is. Because God allows him to see it and bring the interpretation. So the beast power is cunning. It sneaks in like a lion, low in the grass, blending in, and the religious leaders can't spot him. He's right among them. And they can't spot him. Verse 15, Daniel 7:15. Daniel was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
Amen.
This is when we come back. The saints, not more symbols, not beasts, but the saints take. The saints shall take the kingdom.
Amen.
Friends, we've been ordained of God to take the kingdom and to possess it spiritually. to take our bodies and bring them under subjection to the Word. Listen, we're under a Melchizedek priesthood in this age, in this hour. And we have the power of endless life in us now. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you possess eternal life. You cannot die any more than God can die. And it's that life that's in you that if you go the way of the grave, it'll raise you up. So Daniel saw the kingdoms of the Gentiles that were fearsome and awesome. But where are they now? Where are these kingdoms? One fell, another rose up. That fell, another rose up. But when the saints possess the kingdom, their reign will never end. But each one of these comes to an end. But there's a kingdom that will never end. So friends, you might say here tonight, we are the ending of the fallen race that passes rulership to the next generation. It's coming to an end. The kingdom that is coming, that is being ushered in, will reign forever. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days come and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. The Gentile kingdoms will come to an end. And the heavenly kingdom will come into its fullness. And the saints will reign. I will make you kings and priests, he says. So Satan has run out of claims. He's been bragging for quite a while. And it looks like he's actually prevailed in the realm of immortality. Mortality, excuse me, getting ahead of myself. Satan looks like he's prevailed. Looks like he's ruined God's plan. Looks like he's just caused everything to be a great big mess, right? But all death is, since the cross, is a portal back into the immortal realm. We're coming back to take this kingdom over. At the right time. And we know that God's way is a godly king. The governments of this world, you know, democracy, that's the best form of government that we've been able to come up with, I suppose, here in the last days. But it's a long ways from perfect. A godly king is the right way. Not a committee, not a compromise. Democracy is based on compromise. It only works if you compromise, right? But a godly king won't compromise. Well, what if he's corrupt? He won't be. Again, from Future Home, he says, city with the throne on top, Revelation 21:23. And they need no light, for the Lamb and the Lord God is the light thereof. See, the Lord God is the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he is ascended up on the throne in that perfect kingdom when time, the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all in all, Jesus sets upon his throne here as our Joseph. That didn't get any more plain, friends. Jesus sets upon his throne here as our Joseph. And the king is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion. And his holy light will flood the entire city. Hallelujah. You will see the Lord Jesus and the pillar of fire. So we fight the same devils. The same devils that Noah fought. The same devils that Enoch fought. The same devils that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fought. The same devils that Elijah fought. The same devils that Jesus fought. The same devils that Paul fought. But now these demons have updated ways. And Satan is no longer called the serpent, but he's called the wise old serpent. He's actually learned a thing or two about a thing or two. Modernized demons for a modernized age. These demons are not anointing people to take spears and run after people. They're anointing people to blow themselves up in the midst of people after pretending to be one of us. Right? These demons hate and despise the believer. But, you know, don't let that worry you. The feelings are mutual. The powers against you are hybrid. But the bride is no hybrid. But she is the original word. And we are heading, friends, for the Revelation 19 showdown. That's when the bride comes back with Christ. We're heading for the Revelation 19 showdown, where Jesus comes riding on a power, which is a white horse, with his saints. And his saints are the vindication of his word. They are overcomers. And how did they overcome? By the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. They've already fought against these demons once. So when they come with the Lord Jesus to come against these demon powers on the earth, they've already battled against them. This is not the first time. They've already fought against these demons once and overcame. And they are part of this last battle. The battle that started in heaven, it ends in Revelation chapter 19 with the last battle of the king and his saints versus the devil and his demons. And I don't need to, it's not a drama. It's not a nail biter. It's not a, I wonder who's going to win. We're coming back to take over our home. Verse 18. We'll pull over here in just a moment. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. So, friends, we're facing all of these demon powers. It's no wonder when we meet the saints of all the ages on the other side, it's no wonder that they're going to want to come and shake your hand. Say, I want to shake the hand of a seventh age overcomer. We're facing the challenges that they faced in every age. The fire is seven times hotter. The anointings that they faced in every age, we're facing all of those. Plus, these anointings that were bound by the river Euphrates that are loosed, Revelation chapter 9, to drive Israel into her homeland. They're now loosed against this last day. The last day Christians. The last day believers. The last day born again sons and daughters of God. But they are not overcome. But they overcome. Amen. By the word of their testimony. We have the word, and that's why we can overcome. We have that standard. We're not laying it down. We're not going to tell people that it's okay to for a man to be a woman or a woman to be a man. No, it's not okay. If a man tries to go in the woman's bathroom here, he's not going to be allowed. I don't care what laws they come up with. Wrong is wrong, right is right. The scripture says there would come a time when they would call right wrong and wrong right. They would despise those that are good, right? They would have unnatural affection. Men for men and women for women. Well, friends, it's absolutely being fulfilled. And if these negative things could be fulfilled, how about the positive? They overcome by the word of their testimony. The word which produces a testimony in their life, and by the blood of the Lamb. They are not overcome, they are overcoming. In this last Eden, Satan's Eden. Amen. Let's stand. Musicians, would make your way up. We don't even realize just how great the increase of the demonic anointings are in the age that we're living in. Because it's like, you know, it's like if you were born in, let's say you were born in hot water. Then if the water's heated up a little bit, it's just a little hotter than it was what you were born in. And you don't know cold water, so you don't realize that you're in hot water. You can only tell the difference between the water you were born in and the water temperature today, right? As things heat up. But it hasn't always been like this. The spirits that we battle against in this age, they're mature, they're high ranking, they're powerful, and they've demonstrated throughout the Gentile dispensation just how great that power is. And yet, an Alexander the Great is not going to conquer you. Babylon is not going to destroy your temple. The Medes are not going to conquer you. The Persians are not going to conquer you. The Romans, the mighty Romans, the anointing that was upon them is not going to cause you to bow your knee. Is not going to destroy you. Is not going to bend you. Is not going to keep you from fulfilling the word concerning you. Are you getting a picture of just how big our God is? How great our God is? And we have the fullness of the word. Jesus Christ himself in a body. He cannot be defeated. He is the great and mighty conqueror. And he is living in a body. And Satan cannot come against him. We have the unmovable, unshakable, unfailing word of God. It'll defeat the devil anytime, any place, under any circumstance. Friends, the age of excuses is over. People that are playing church, well, I can't give this up, and I can't stop this, and I can't stop that. You just need to get him. You need to get the overcomer. Of course you can't. But have faith in God. Be born again of the Spirit. And the overcomer will overcome. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what race, color, background, age, education level. That power will overcome. Amen. That power will keep you. That power will change your body. That power will heal you when you're sick. That power will encourage you when you're depressed. That power will give you vision. That power will guide you. Amen. That's the power of this blood in a body. And yet all hell is lining up. All hell is being unleashed, pouring into this dimension. It just does not have the power excuse me, the power is just not released yet. Because you're here. You're the reason. And the word has declared this. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was prophesied again in the New Testament. Two separate prophets saying the same thing. And now a third prophet comes along and shows us what these symbols are. This word can't fail, friends. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we stand before you, Lord, we're so thankful. Sometimes we have to look at what's lined up against us to recognize the power of what has been given to us to overcome by. And Lord, we've been given a promise. Lord, this power cannot be defeated. You defeated the devil 2,000 years ago. And you called the shots. You took away his keys. You established your kingdom. You took all authority. You reign above all power, above all principality, above all. And Lord, your body has been placed over every power. But we've been told that we won't take full authority over our last enemy, which is death, until the last one comes in. And it's mercy and it's grace and it's your plan. If we're to go the way of the grave, it's not a negative thing. It's not a bad thing. It's supposed to be that way until the last one comes in. But then, Lord, there'll be a people on the face of the earth that'll say, no more. No one else is going to be taken by death. It will be fully placed under the feet of your body. There's no power that's greater than you. There's no anointing that's greater than you. And Lord, we can but look back and we can read from the history books of what these anointings, these demonic anointings did for the generations, for the kingdoms of the Gentiles throughout the Gentile dispensations, Gentile ages. And Lord, there are awesome powers. There are swiftness and boldness and just all these different attributes, strength, subtlety, all of these different things. And yet, Lord, none of it is comparable to you. Your spirit exposes all of these spirits. Your word pulls the covers off. Lord, this is nothing for us to go home and stay awake at night or be afraid. Lord, if your spirit is within us, whom shall we fear? Though an host should encamp about us, we shall not be afraid. This power that's in a body has already demonstrated, just as these demonic powers have been demonstrated throughout the ages, your spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, has been demonstrated fully throughout the ages, and then once again over vindicated, as far as I'm concerned, been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lord, it's just a matter of us surrendering, dying out to ourselves, accepting the sacrifice, surrendering ourselves to you, offering ourselves to you, Lord, inviting you to come and quicken that gene down on the inside, and then, Lord, for you to come down and dwell in us. The great mighty conqueror, the great overcomer. Lord, that very same spirit will quicken our mortal bodies. Whether we go the way of the grave or whether we're standing here on the earth, it'll quicken our mortal bodies. We'll have a body like yours. We'll meet you in that other dimension. We'll be gathered together with the saints of all the ages to go away to that wedding supper in the sky. Meanwhile, Lord, we see what the world is going to face for 3.5 years in that time of trouble. Lord, we don't want anyone to go through that. Help us, Lord, to, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, there'll be a sighing and a crying. There'll be a crying out, Lord. Lord, if there's 50, will you hold back your wrath and, until those 50 come in, or 40 or 30, whatever the number might be. Lord, may we bring souls to your kingdom. May we point souls to Calvary. Our family, our loved ones, whosoever will. May we be guilty, Lord, of telling everyone. Lord, just giving an account of the hope of glory that's within us. Testifying of your goodness, testifying of your grace, testifying of your love, testifying of the overcoming power. Lord, the power to transform, the power to change. Lord, you've changed our lives. You've taken us, Lord. We were as all others. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were as all others. But Lord, you brought a change. A change in our lives. We'll never be what we were before. You've quickened us. We've become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, may we be ready to give an account, Lord, of that hope of glory that's down within us. May we extend this grace and mercy, Lord, to this lost and dying world. May we just tell others about you, Lord, why we love you, what you've done for us, what you're doing for us, what you're going to do for us. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Help us, Lord, to recognize exactly where we're at in time, what our place is, and help us to be about our Father's business. Help us, Lord, to be used by you to fulfill this great commission, to see your word ministered in power and demonstration, to see lives changed, to see souls brought to you as trophies to your kingdom. Won't you grant it, Lord? Help us, Lord, not to focus on COVID, or we know that we got to use wisdom, but help us not get caught up in the day-to-day things that are happening. And certainly, Lord, maybe not look at politics. We're amazed at the evilness of politics, but Lord, everything that we've talked about tonight was politics. These four demonic powers, they're political. We know they're ecumenical here in this last age. But Lord, we know that the kingdoms of this world are ruled by politics, so it shouldn't surprise us that as we see these four powers uniting in one, we shouldn't be surprised at just how wicked and evil those spirits really are. May we not focus on those things, Lord. May we be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. May we recognize the day and the hour that we're living in. But instead, Lord, may we focus on the solution. May we look up, seeing these things come to pass. May we look up for our redemption draw nigh. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Bless each and every one. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how we'd like to lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, I want my focus to just to be upon you. And, not you to the point that I'm no earthly good, but you to the point that I want to please you, that I want to serve you, and that I want others to know you. I'm not selfish with you, Lord. I don't claim you as a bestie that and then get jealous if you love somebody else. I want others to know you in the power and demonstration of your resurrection. I want others to know forgiveness of sin. I want others to know the power to the truth that sets men free, changes our lives. I want others to know that, Lord. I just want to simply do what you've called me to do. I want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. I want to be a voice here in this last hour, this the closing chapter of the Gentile dispensation. I want to be a voice that's declaring there's an escape, there's a way out. There's an entrance that's being ministered, and there's an exodus, that there's no need to go through that time of trouble. There's an escape. The price has already been paid. Lord, we want to vocalize and share with our loved ones, our neighbors, our co-workers, whomever we can come in contact with, Lord. We don't have to speak of deep and mystical things. Let's speak about the things that we know about you, how the fire got lit, and Lord, the promise that you've given. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? Bless each and every one. Those that are in the building, those that are listening in, those that will be listening in, Lord. Won't you grant it? We want to be the fullness of what you plan for us to be in this hour. We want to be your vessels used, Lord, to be a reflection of the good and the positive and the good news. Won't you grant it, Lord? In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Overcomers in this life, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood. Amen. Amen. We've got the